Welcoming all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are very fortunate to have Her Grace Sarojini Nandini Mataji today. And Mataji is going to continue and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 14th chapter, from 37 verse onwards. Before going to that, I want to give a brief introduction of Mataji. Sarojini Nandini Mataji is the disciple of His Grace Jaipatak Maharaj. She was introduced to Krishna consciousness at the age of 5 and has ever since been very attracted to Krishna conscious philosophy and Srila Prabhupada. She has been helping in preaching at ISKCON temples as a Sunday school teacher and youth counselor in India and US. She also volunteered in college preaching program. She is mother with a passion for spiritual education of kids. She is currently engaged in Bhakti Vruksha preaching program along with her husband and also focused on Bhakti Sangha Kids Academy as a teacher. Thank you so much, Mataji. Are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Mataji, for the welcome and introduction. So,
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavach Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, welcome to the morning conference call. And today's verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto. So let me first begin with the Mangala Charan. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patit Hanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavedyo Namo Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 14, Text 13 and 14. Text 13. Evam adhyavasayainam munayo guramanyavaha upavrajya bruvanvenam shantvaitvacha samabihi. Translation. The great sages, having thus decided, approached King Vena. Concealing their anger, they pacified him with sweet words and then spoke as follows. Text 14. Munaya uchuhu nipavaryani bodaitat यत्ते विज्ञापयाम भोः आयुश्री बल कीर्तीनां तव तात विवर्धनम्. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: The great sages said, Dear King, we have come to give you good advice. Kindly hear us with great attention. By doing so, your duration of life and your opulence, strength and reputation will increase. Purport: According to Vedic civilization, in a monarchy, the king is advised by saintly persons and sages. By taking their advice, he can become the greatest executive power, and everyone in his kingdom will be happy, peaceful, and prosperous. The great kings were very responsible in taking the instructions given by great saintly personalities. The kings used to accept the instructions given by great sages like Parashara, Vyasadeva, Narada, Devala, and Asita. In other words, they would first accept the authority of saintly persons and then execute their monarchical power. Unfortunately, in the present age of Kali, the head of the government does not follow the instructions given by saintly persons. Therefore, neither the citizens nor the men of the government are very happy. The duration of life is shortened, and almost everyone is wretched and bereft of bodily strength and spiritual power. If citizens want to be happy and prosperous in this democratic age, they should not elect rascals and fools who have no respect for saintly persons. Om Tat Sat.
ॐ अज्ञानात् निरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुन् दीनतारणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरम्. हरे कृष्ण. So we are in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in chapter 14, which is entitled The Story of King Vena. So for the previous few classes, in the past few days, we have been seeing the story of King Vena, how he was born to Sunita, who was the daughter of Mrityudeva, or death personified. So because she got the qualities of her father, and because her son got her qualities, Vena was a very notorious boy, even right from childhood. In the childhood, he used to even trouble his playmates, the children around him. Sometimes he even used to kill them in anger. So this was all a play for him. And right from childhood, he was very notorious. And when he grew up, his notorious activities did not stop. But because his father got frustrated and King Anga, he left the kingdom, there was no kingdom to protect the kingdom. So all the sages, they made Vena as the king. And although Vena was the king, he did not become responsible. They made him the king with the hope that one day he might become responsible. But he did not become responsible. In fact, he became even... Wherever there were religious rituals going on, he would go and stop them. And whenever there are saintly people, he used to trouble them. And he used to do so many injustices to the people in the kingdom. So his notorious activities did not stop. And all the sages in the kingdom, they were very worried. If the situation continues like this, then definitely the people of the kingdom are going to suffer and the whole kingdom will be destroyed. So they were very worried. They gathered together and they started discussing what they can do to save the people of the kingdom and the kingdom. So they all gathered together and they discussed many things. And then finally they decided that they will either talk to him and make him understand, or if he doesn't listen, then they will burn him with their prowess. In those days, the sages were able to burn just by their prowess. That's how powerful the sages were. So this was the option that they discussed in verse 12. that either they will try to talk to him pleasingly and try to pacify him, and if he does not listen, then they will burn him with their prowess. So in this verse, verse number 13, Srila Prabhupada is saying, in the translation it is explained that the sages, they conceal their anger and they try to speak pleasingly to the king. Now this is very important. In Kali Yuga especially, it's so difficult to speak pleasingly to others. It's a big austerity. We all are governed by the three modes of material nature and so much prone to losing our temper in provoking situations, and we speak harsh words out of frustration, even to our near and dear ones. We see, right, in our practical examples that even to our own children, sometimes when children make mistakes, we know that they are just kids and they do it unknowingly. And we know that showing anger on them is not going to help them learn from their mistakes. In fact, they are only going to sulk or withdraw inside more. But still, because of our own ego and because we get provoked so easily, we lose our temper and we exhaust our anger on them. Now this word, exhausting the anger, is very important because we know that showing the anger is not going to help, but still the anger, the pressure has been built inside us. So we want to exhaust our anger on someone, and because the children, if they are responsible for provoking our anger, we want to exhaust it on them. And in fact, they will never get the message out of it. We know that very clearly. In Bhagavad Gita also, in the second chapter, Krishna says, in the 63rd verse, Krodhad bhavati sammohaha, sammohat smriti vibramaha, smriti bramshat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashyati. That when anger goes out of control, then we get bewildered and we lose our intelligence. And when we lose our intelligence, we don't know what we are doing and everything becomes very chaotic. So we should always try to not get provoked. And even if we get provoked, we should try to control our anger and put it forward in a pleasing way. If we try to control our anger and put it forward in a pleasing way, then it will benefit the children and they will get the message out of it. Also, it will save us from the stress of having to shout. So it will also be helpful to our health. Not just children, even to others, to the elders, adults, they need such treatment because everybody, they try to take the message when put forward in a very pleasing way. And that is our principle also. In Shikshashtakam, we have this verse where it says, Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. The Amanina manadena, it means that we have to give all our respects to others and expect none in return. So it's very important to speak respectfully and pleasingly to others. Now, in this case of King Vena, he was being so atrocious and he was doing so much of injustice to the citizens of his kingdom. The sages were very enraged. So what were they supposed to do in this situation? In general, if you see, when there is a conflicting situation, there are four ways to deal with it. Sama, Dana, Beda, and Danda. Sama means, this is of course more applicable to situations where there is a war between two parties. Sama is making alliances or talking it out. That is always the first step. So talking it out, we have seen a lot of examples, even in Ramayana and some Mahabharata. In Ramayana, Lord Rama, he sent so many people to first make alliances with Ravana. He sent Hanuman. Hanuman also tried to make alliances with Ravana, but he did not listen. And even in the last minute before the war began, he sent Angada. And even Angada's message was rejected by Ravana. So, you know, the first step always is to talk it out or make alliances and try to avoid the war. And if that doesn't help, then they go to the next step. Even in Mahabharata, if you see, Krishna, he went to make alliances with Duryodhana and the Kauravas. But of course, they did not take the message. So the first step is always making alliances or talking it out. The second step is Dana. That is giving gifts or compensation and trying to make the other person change their mind. That is the second step. The third step is Bheda, or divide and rule. Sometimes this concept of divide and rule is used by one party to create conflict between the people in the other opposite party. So that is another way to deal with that situation, and that way they can avoid going in for a war. The fourth one and the last one is danda, or punishment. So that is the last step. Even the sages, in the same way, they were first trying to talk it out in sweet words to King Vena and make him understand. And if he gets pacified, it's well and good. If he doesn't get pacified, then they were planning to use their prowess to burn him to ashes. So giving punishment or danda is always the last step. If nothing else works out, then that is the last step. So that is the situation here. And the sages were also very tolerant, because first they were very angry, but they concealed their anger and they were very tolerant with King Vena. And generally, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, they are very, very tolerant to others. Even Srila Prabhupada, he was very, very tolerant to some of his followers who did a lot of mistakes. So the Vaishnavas are generally very, very tolerant. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 21st verse, it says, Titikshava karunika suhrudam sarvadehinam ajata shatravat shantaha sadavah sadhu bhushanaha. So a sadhu is one who is titikshava, very tolerant, karunika, merciful, suhrada sarvadehinam, he is a friend of everybody and he has no enemies, ajata shatruva. Shantaha, he is very peaceful. Sadavaha, he always abides by the scriptures. Sadhu Bhushanaha, and his characteristics are very sublime. So these are the qualities of a sadhu or a Vaishnava. So this is what we learn from the Srimad Bhagavatam as well. So like that, the sages were very, very tolerant. And in the Bhagavad Gita also, there is a very relevant verse in the 17th chapter, the 15th verse, which says, Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyaya vyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchyate. This says that anudvega karam vakyam, the words which are not agitating to others, and satyam, truthful words, priya, pleasing words, hitam, which is beneficial words, then swadhyaya vyasanam, speaking from the scriptures or practicing to speak from the scriptures. So these all constitute vanmayam tapa uchyate. This all constitute the austerity of speech. So this is a very interesting verse, because it has so many aspects to it. The first one is being truthful. So we are going to see one by one what these things are. So the first one is being truthful. What it means, of course, in Kali Yuga, it is said that out of the four pillars of Dharma, only truthfulness is said to remain. And even that is vanishing slowly, because everybody is telling so many lies and they are not being so truthful. So it's always easy to tell a simple lie. To speak the truth, it's very difficult, because you have to face a lot of questions and conflicts and problems. But if you tell a simple lie, you can always escape from the situation. So people choose to do that instead of telling the truth. So that is the easy way, but it's not going to help. That's why speaking truth is considered as austerity of speech. It's very interesting to note this, because speaking truth is so difficult, especially in Kali Yuga, it's even more difficult to see people who are very truthful. So although we have discussed that speaking truth is important, telling the truth which is not beneficial to others is also not good. So let us see an example for this. There is a very interesting story. Once there was a sage who was meditating, and there was a cow which came that way, and he happened to see the cow go in a particular direction. And after some time, he saw a gang of people who were chasing the cow with sticks. And they came that way, and they were asking the sage that if he saw the cow or not. Now, if the sage tells the lie, he would be encouraging cow killing, which is even more worse than telling a lie. So in this situation, the sage, he thought it was wise to tell a lie and misdirect the people in order to save the cow. Because telling the truth in this situation is not going to benefit. The cow is eventually going to get killed. So that's why he chose to tell a lie and misdirect the people. So it's not always blindly that you have to be truthful. You have to see the situation. Even in the Mahabharata, there is an example of Yudhishthira. When Dronacharya was planning to be killed by Krishna, Krishna asked Yudhishthira to tell a lie that his son Ashwatthama is dead. But Yudhishthira was hesitating to tell the lie. Whereas Bhima, he readily agreed and he went forward to Dronacharya and he told that, "Oh Guru, your son Ashwatthama is dead." But Yudhishthira was hesitating to tell the lie. Why this is so? It is because he was very attached to his principle of not telling a lie. So much so that he even was ready to disobey the orders of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So there are always higher dharmas and lower dharmas. Here in this case, telling a lie was a lower dharma when compared to obeying the orders of Krishna, which was a higher dharma. So there are always lower dharmas and higher dharmas. And whenever there is a dharma sankata or conflict of two dharmas, then we have to always choose to follow the higher dharma. Now, some people may ask, how do we understand what is higher dharma and lower dharma? Sometimes it is so confusing and both seems to be right. So in such cases, that is why we have Guru, Sadhu and Shastra to consult, to understand what is higher dharma and lower dharma. Of course, as Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 2nd chapter, 6th verse, it says, Savai pumsan paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Which means that the highest dharma or the greatest duty of humanity is to render unannoyed, unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. So this is the highest dharma of everything. Then we move on to the third one, which is speaking from Shastras. Okay, we move on to the second one, which is speaking Priya. Priya is pleasing words. So it is very important to speak pleasing words to others. Although it is important to speak pleasing words, we have to also note that sometimes when we know that somebody is making a mistake, we may be in a position to correct them. And if we speak the truth, it may be hard facts for them and very non-palatable for them to hear. But we should not be afraid of telling them the truth and the hard facts, because we know that it is for their good. So in such cases, we should not really hesitate to tell the truth, although it may not be very pleasing to hear. And for this, we have the example of Ravana and Vibhishana. Vibhishana, he knew very well that Ravana was making a mistake by not returning Sita to Rama. So he advised Ravana to return back Sita, because he knew the power of Lord Ram, that if Ravana did not return back Sita, then eventually there is going to be a war. And all the entire Rakshasa dynasty is going to get destroyed in this war. He knew this very well. That is why Vibhishana, for the good of Ravana, he had to speak non-pleasing words. But he was not afraid of losing a relationship with Ravana. In fact, Ravana got very angry that Vibhishana spoke in such a non-supportive and non-pleasing way that he actually threw him out of the kingdom. And Vibhishana was not afraid of this. Whereas, if we take the example of Kumbhakarna also knew that Lord Rama was very powerful and Ravana had done a mistake by kidnapping Sita. So he also advised Ravana to return back Sita and go and surrender to Ram. But Ravana got very angry at Kumbhakarna and said, "Traitor, you also are behaving like Vibhishana. What is the difference between what Vibhishana did and what you are doing? You are not being supportive of your elder brother." And because Ravana accused him of being a traitor, foolishly, he actually, in the name of supporting his brother, out of brotherly affection, he supported Ravana and eventually got killed in the war. So sometimes speaking the truth, and not which may not be very pleasing, is also required. The third thing is speaking from the scriptures. Whenever we talk something, we should not just talk from mental concoction. We should always give evidence and back up with evidence from the scriptures. an interesting thing to note here is that most of the time, if we are not talking about Krishna, then mostly we would be talking nonsense or gossip. So it is always better to talk topics related to Krishna and his devotees. So on the whole, we have to use our discretion to understand whether the words that we are speaking is going to be beneficial to others, or we have to refer from the scriptures always to understand what kind of words we have to speak in every situation. So coming to the next verse of the 14th chapter, which is the 14th verse, here the sages, they approached King Vena. And they told the king that they came to give him good advice and said, please kindly hear with attention. By doing so, now they're going to talk very positively. So they're saying, by doing so, your opulence, your strength, reputation, and your duration of life will increase. So the sages are talking very pleasingly to the king, King Vena, because he was a king. And in general, all the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, they always talk very respectful towards other, to superiors or people in a higher position. Even if we see the example of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, of course at that time their name were, names were Dabir Das and Sakar Malik. They were working for the Mohammedan king, Nawab Hussain Shah. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Ramakeli and they secretively went and saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Ramakeli and they came back. And when the king, the Mohammedan king, when he came to know about this, he asked them who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. At that time, they did not get afraid or they did not panic. They said, oh king, you are the king and representative of God. So you must be knowing who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So they always spoke with etiquette and they always spoke very pleasingly and respectfully towards the king. Devotees generally are very respectful to people in higher position or superiors. That's why even in Rath Yatra sometimes devotees invite political leaders or people who are in a higher position in the society to come and be the chief guest, and they give them all respect. So that is how the general way is. So another thing here is that speaking very pleasingly to the king is very, very important, because there's a very funny story here in this context, a children's story about Akbar and Birbal, which is very much in connection to this. So once what happened is King Akbar, he got a dream that all of his tooth got knocked off and only one tooth is remaining. So it was a very weird dream and he was very afraid of this, and then he thought that there must be some meaning to this. So he went to an astrologer. And he consulted with an astrologer what this means. And the astrologer, being very truthful, he said that, yes, O king, this dream is not good. It means to say that all your relatives will die before you. And the king was very angry, and so angry at this astrologer that he put this astrologer in jail. And he said that you are not, how dare you speak such non-pleasing words to me. I'm very, very angry. You should not have spoken like this. So this is what the King Akbar told the astrologer, and he put him in jail. And after that also, he was not pacified at all. He was very upset. The whole day he was thinking about the dream, and the whole day he was thinking that what will happen in future, and whether my relatives will die before me, and he was always worrying about this, so much so that he even forgot to carry out his kingly duties. And the ministers were also worried, especially Birbal, who was the chief minister. He was very worried. So he said, King, don't worry. Maybe the astrologer told a lie. Maybe that's not true. I will bring a really good astrologer and he will tell what the meaning of the dream is. So Birbal, he arranged for another astrologer who came and told King Akbar that the meaning of the dream is that, O king, you are going to live a very long life. So much so that even you will live longer than your relatives. So see, here the fact is the same. Both astrologers told the same thing, but they told in a different way. The first astrologer told it in a negative side, and the second astrologer, he told it in a very positive way. So although it means the same, the king was very happy and pleased with the second astrologer's words. And so he gave him a lot of rewards with gold coins and so many other facilities. So what we understand out of this story is that it's very, very important to speak pleasingly, especially to superiors and in general to everyone. So the sages also in the same mood, although they were very, very angry at King Vena's actions, they controlled their anger, and being very tolerant, they first tried to speak very pleasingly to the king. And the second thing is that as much as it is important for the sages and the brahmanas to speak pleasingly to the king, it was also important for the kings to take the advice of the brahmanas in a very positive sense and also implement it in their life. So even in those days, if you see, King Dasharatha was given good advice by Vasishtha, and even Dhritarashtra was given good advice by Kripacharya and Dronacharya. And of course, King Dasharatha took the advice of his priest or the sage Vasishtha, and Dhritarashtra refused to take the advice of so many good people. So, and even the King Vena, eventually in this story, we will see in the further verses that he will also reject the advice of the sages, and he will accuse them of not being faithful to him, and of course, eventually he will meet his end. That is the unfortunate fate. And in the 14th verse, Srila Prabhupada in the purport also mentions that in the present age of Kali also, the head of the government, just like King Vena, they are not very supportive of saintly people. They do not want to take message from instructions from saintly people. And because of this, they are going to lose their duration, they are going to lose their opulence and strength and power. And neither the citizens nor the men of the government are going to be happy because of this. And we are seeing it in the present day, right? That not many people are interested to hear the what is spiritually good for them. They're not worried about their spiritual welfare. Everybody is so much interested in their, you know, temporary material happiness. Because of this, they are not going to think about spiritual progress. And even the government themselves, they are actually propagating that sense gratification is the highest success of life. Because of this, the environment is like this. So how can we expect people to really take up to spiritual life and be serious about this? So this is the situation currently. And what we can do to save the society is that we should be responsible enough to elect people who are very supportive of saintly people. And of course, we have to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to as many people as possible. This way we can really make some positive difference in the society. So we get to learn two things from these two shlokas. One thing is that it is very, very important to speak pleasingly to others, and how much of difference and impact pleasing words can have on people. Even for negative things, people sometimes cunningly use pleasing words, and they use honey-coated words to get their job done. So what they speak of, if you use it in the positive sense, definitely it's going to have a much better effect. And what happens is that the second thing is that we have to learn from this, and we have to learn from our seniors and even elders, or even people who are more qualified than us. We have to always listen. That's why even in our process, the first step is Shravanam. Shravanam is always to listen. Only when we listen, we will understand. Sometimes people complain that I don't have the patience to speak so pleasingly to others, or I don't really know how to speak pleasingly to others. So how do we understand how to speak pleasingly to others? We have to regularly associate with devotees and learn from them, learn from the Shastras how to speak pleasingly, because we have so many good examples from our Shastras of how people have won situations by speaking pleasingly to others. And that is also a etiquette, that is also a bhushana or ornament of a devotee. So although we have this Vaishnava manual, big book, although we may read from it, when we try to practically implement it by seeing the other Vaishnavas, then only we will truly realize it. Otherwise, it's always easy to say. So we should try to implement it and practice as much as possible to speak pleasingly. And we should always take the words of C. seniors and qualified people. Our ego many times does not permit us to take advice from others, especially what happens is sometimes when devotees in their early days in Krishna consciousness, they learn a lot of things that they have not otherwise learned. So they get puffed up, not just in new devotees, but even devotees who are quite advanced, sometimes they get puffed up that they know. So their ego doesn't permit them to take advice or take good things from others. Instead, they try to find fault and try to prove that the other person is not better than them. So we should always leave such attitude and try to learn all good from everyone, from whomever it comes. And when we know that something is good, we should not just reject it because of our ego. That is not going to help us in any way. So with these two messages of speaking pleasingly to others and also to be very respectful towards elders and taking the message from them, I would like to conclude here and open the forum for any discussions, corrections, questions or comments. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'll just unmute you and then I'll unmute you, okay, because there is some feedback. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful class. Actually, when I saw these two verses, I was thinking, what are you going to talk? There is no philosophy. There is not much content. But with appropriate examples and highlighting on the essence of this message, it was such a lovely class. You were quoting so nicely from Bhagavad Gita, and you were quoting from so many other places. And then you give very appropriate examples from different stories like Mahabharata and Ramayana. To explain, about how one must talk, how one must deal with situations, Sama, Veda, Danda, all that you explained very, very nicely. It was so nice. Especially one thing that really struck me is about speaking the same message in a positive way. It makes a huge difference. And the example that you gave with Akbar and Birbal, that was so nice. So that is my takeaway for today. It was very, very nice. Very nicely you have dissected both the verses, Mataji. Very difficult verses, actually, they are. And you really dealt with them so beautifully. It was such a pleasure, actually, hearing to you. It makes you feel good first thing in the morning. Very nice. Very nice class, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Prithvi Vilasni, Mataji, for such beautiful comments and words and for your association.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Shilap.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much for the beautiful class, Mataji. So many points and so many stories you explained, and very nicely. The class was so nice, Mataji. The way you explained, like, you know, how to talk pleasingly to the devotees and taking advices from the senior. Everything was very beautiful, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Hari Hari Bol.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji, for, you know, such kind words and giving your association. It's always a pleasure to hear.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanmat Pranam, all glories to Sri Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful lecture. I loved listening to the whole thing, the way you mentioned about also how to control anger or how to control your emotions in an unpleasant situation too. So my question is, in a way, twofold. One is, Mataji, like when an unpleasant situation takes place, so first of all, when negative things come into mind, so first is being aware of it, right, Mataji? So that before reaction, becoming aware that, you know, the emotions are getting better of you, so we need to check ourselves. That would be the good point to start, am I correct?
Just yes. Want to know. That is the first step.
First step. And then what? Then what, Mataji? Then second?
So, the thing is that first, we should try to understand the situation And we should always try to deal with the situation thinking that the other person does not understand, or he is not probably realized what he is talking. So if we see them as children, not just children, sometimes we are being magnanimous to our children. So if we see the other person as a child, or probably he has not understood this particular issue as much as I have. And so I should not really get agitated or angry about it, because these words are not going to make any difference to my soul or even to my life as such. So if we can give good advice to our mind in such situations, which comes by practice, of course, then that is the best thing that can happen. Sometimes even materialistic people, they say, when you get angry, sit down and count up to 10 and breathe slowly. Then you will get rid of your anger. So these are some techniques that they also say. But in general, if we understand what the situation is, and if we understand that the other person is not as much realized as what I can understand from the situation, then we will not get angry. So better is not to get provoked. And the second thing is, if in case, even after that, if you are not able to control and if you get provoked and you get angry, the second step is that we should try to control our anger. Because if we don't control our anger, situation becomes very chaotic. I even know of an example that I heard long back, that there were this couple who were fighting over a very silly matter, and they got really so angry that they were doing, first they were speaking harsh words at each other, and then they were throwing things at each other, they were hitting each other, and it went to a stage where, out of frustration, without knowing, because the anger is controlled so much, the father, he took the child and he put it out of the window, and they were living in a very big story building, like I think from the 10th floor, or even more higher than that, and they lost the child. So these kind of things happen when situations go out of control. So even if we get angry, we are all human beings, we are definitely prone to get anger. Nobody can be 100% perfect, but even if we get anger, we should learn to control it. That is the most important thing. Hope it helped, Mataji.
Beautiful, Mataji, very nice. And one more question was, the beautiful example of Birbal and Akbar, which you mentioned right now, and I think another example which you mentioned, where the same thing can be talked in a very pleasant way, rather than in a the same fact being portrayed in a two different ways, right? So my question is, doing that always in a pleasant way, does that one get engaged in flattery? Do you think that does that happen? Is there any borderline there?
Very, very interesting question. Thank you very much. It's a very important question as well. That what happens is, many times we see that although we know that it is important to glorify other devotees, what happens is many people get into this habit of doing false praise or flattery to other devotees. So what happens is, in the mood of being pleasing to others, we go way beyond, even telling the truth. So too much of flattery, so much so to the extent that, these people are called Dandavat devotees. They always want to do Dandavat Pranam, and they want to be artificially humble, and they always want to artificially praise others. Of course, we definitely will know what is the difference between a genuine praise and an artificial praise. And it's not going to make a difference in our lives, because whenever we get any praise, we always give it to our Guru Varga and Krishna. It's not really a praise for us. But when they do it, it's not good for their spiritual life. When they flatter someone too much beyond their limit, it's always good to see the good in others and neglect the bad things. That is one aspect. That's a very good thing to do. And the glorification of other devotees will also help purify us, and it will also make us progress faster, because we see the good in others. But everything, when it goes beyond the limit, it becomes dangerous. So we should, when you glorify a devotee, even, we should always see what is there. We should try to really introspect and find out what is good in that devotee, and talk as much as possible which is relevant to that person. We should not go way beyond to describe. Sometimes we know that we are really going way beyond what is the truth, and we are overly praising, But still we do it because we think that it will be very pleasing for the person to hear. And in fact, we don't know that it will be sometimes very irritating for the person to hear such flattery. So that's a very important question. We should always remember that we should try to be as much as possible relevant to the person and the situation, and try to speak as much as, of course, pleasing words as possible, but very relevant words as well.
Thank you, Mata. And please keep coming on the conference call more often.
Very practical. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Love and affection. And definitely it's very purifying for me as well to come and speak, although I may not be fully qualified to, but it's very, very purifying to me to come and speak and to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam and to speak about Srila Prabhupada. I feel very fortunate. Thank you.
Mataji, when it is coming to angry, outside I can act like being humble and I don't show any angry. But when coming to our relatives, our close to everybody, when we get angry, we don't hold it, Mataji. Immediately we'll show up that how to control those things, Mataji, when coming to personally. Relatives, all the
Yes, Mataji, very true. It so happens, very important question as well, that it's very easy to say to control the anger, but especially when we know that they're very close to us or when we know that they are a relative, oftentimes even the relatives or we ourselves might justify saying that how can we be so formal with even our own relatives or near and dear ones. It's not just about being formal, it's about reforming our own character in such a way that even if it is our mother, father, husband or even children, then we should always understand that they are also human beings who are prone to making mistakes. And just by exhausting the anger, what is going to remain? Only the bitterness will remain. That sometimes, people remember that on such and such day you spoke such harsh words towards me. And it's so difficult for some people to overcome it. So how will the relationship be smooth? There is always an alternative way to deal with angry situations. Always you can use pleasing words. You can. It's not that when you become, pleasing or when you are talking very softly, people are going to take advantage of you. There are three things. One is being assertive. One is being passive and one is being aggressive. Passive is when you are really, really silent and you don't react to the situation at all and you really suffer inside and you keep it to yourself and you really feel very humble and sometimes even feel inferior. And in a fear of not losing a relationship with the other person, you may remain silent. But you may have this anger for a long time and you may take long time to overcome it as well. So it is always better. And the second thing is being aggressive. Aggressive is when somebody hurts you, you just hurt them back in a very aggressive way and talking harsh words and, you feel, wow, I gave him back to whatever he has done to me. He spoke harsh words, I also spoke harsh words and it's over. So people think that they have won over the situation. But what happens is, again, our words have hurt the other person. So it's not that we have won over the situation. So that hurt will remain and it will reflect in a different way towards us. So always we should try to see as much as possible not to agitate others. But at the same time, we may have to sometimes defend ourselves. So talking assertively and talking very pleasingly is very, very important. We can always tell what the other person did and how much it is wrong, we can always say it in a pleasing way. Now again, talking pleasingly and expressing assertively to others, that is also of three categories. One is talking in sattva-guna, talking in rajaguna, and talking in tamaguna. Talking in tamaguna is, of course, talking aggressively. That when you are in tamaguna, you try to give back and you try to talk harshly and you feel that you have won over the situation. But it's going to again provoke some more angry situations in the future, which we don't understand. And talking in Rajoguna, by talking in passionate mode, this is something very interesting. What happens is sometimes we have not really overcome our anger. We are still angry at that person. But still, we know that we should not use aggressive words. So what we do, we try to artificially talk in a pleasing way, but actually the tone is not very pleasing. But we try to say that, okay, fine. I only did the mistake. You did not do any mistake. I accept that I did the mistake. Is that okay? So see the tone. If we talk in such a mode, in such a tone, this is some rajoguna, passion. Although we are being humble in our words, our tone will indicate that we have not really overcome the situation. Instead of that, we can always explain, see, this is what you have done and it was really hurting to me. Please try to avoid such situations in future. And, you know, like this, very sweetly you can put forward the whole thing. And even if the other person is very aggressive, after some time, the person will, contemplate on what you have spoken and he will take the message out of it. Our purpose is when we speak and defend ourselves, we have to convey the message. Neither we should remain silent, nor we should burst out to others. We have to convey the message that, see, you have hurt me in this way and I have tolerated it, but please try to avoid it in future. So we should always try to speak in sattva guna. That is the best thing. Not that we have to silently hear all accuses and always be humble and, like how Jesus Christ did, if somebody hits you on one cheek, show him the other cheek. I know it's Kali Yuga, it's not really possible for every one of us to tolerate so much because we are so easily provoked and we lose our temper so easily. That is the nature of Kali Yuga. But we can always choose to convey the message in sattva guna. That is our choice. Definitely that can be done. Hope that helps, Mataji.
Yes, sure, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the wonderful answer.
Thank you for asking that. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. If anybody have any questions, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Class, Mataji, thank you for coming and yeah, this is so
okay. Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Dhanot Pranam.
Very, very beautiful class, very nice examples and very nice reference from all different scriptures with stories. Very riveting class, Mataji, and thank you for the wonderful message. Hare Krishna.
Association and kind words.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Mataji Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Mataji Dandavat Pranam.
Very, very beautiful class, Mataji, and very nice examples. Very make a perfect for the children, for us also. And thank you so much for running the Bhakti Sangha Academy, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. I just work as a teacher. Anjana Gopika Mataji, Jyoti Vilasini Mataji and other devotees, they take care of the coordination and they do wonderful services. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving very enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you. And we look forward for your session again in future, Mataji. If nobody have any questions, can we end the call here?
Thank you, Mataji. Hare
Krishna. I think you wanted to the Mataji. Yeah, sure, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanwad Pranam. All glories to Srila
Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Dhanwad Pranam.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for a wonderful class. It's both improving our personality as well as Srimad Bhagavatam lecture. So happy, so very happy to hear. And so many lessons. to take home. One thing personally for me is, okay, try to speak. If you're not speaking about Krishna, then we are only talking gossip and nonsense. So that's something I would always remember. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you,
Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Let us pay obeisances to Mataji and to all the devotees. Nukain vancha kalpatarubhyasya kupa sindhu evacha patita nam pavanepyo vaishnavepyo namo namah. Karantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Sarojini Nandini Mataji ki jai. Thank you so much.